Jim! The cry escapes his lips, and he's at the man's side before he knows it, checking his vitals. His pulse is faint, his face strangely pale. Someone get a doctor, he hears behind him. I am a doctor, he mutters. He hears Nyota on her cell phone, calling for an ambulance. Jim! Come on, man, stay with me. What's the matter with you? It was him! A strange man that Leonard recognizes from both the coffee shop and the pizzeria points accusingly at a tall, angry-looking man in black. He used poison! You did this, father? Spock looks horrified and angry. How could you? Oh, pay no attention to him. The man, Nero, says, his wits have been addled. Silence, you treacherous snake! Spock's features are twisted in fury and fear. You will answer for your crimes when we return home. Now help Jim! Leonard is still checking Jim over, but nothing is wrong except for the fact that he appears to be dying. Love's true kiss? Ayel suggests. Spock nods, relieved. Of course. Leonard steps back as the prince takes the woodsman in his arms, kissing him thoroughly. Nothing happens. Nero laughs. Better hurry, sweet prince, he says. Ere the clock strikes 12, he'll be dead. As if on cue, a clock begins chiming the hour loudly. Spock looks confused and worried, kissing him again. No change. Jim is as pale and still as ever. He turns to Leonard, eyes wide and near pleading. Please, he says. Don't let him die. It takes a minute to catch on to what he's saying, even as the chiming continues ominously. What he means. It's not, he fumbles. I can't. He'll die if you don't, Spock says. That's not the way it goes, Leonard says in a near panic. This doesn't happen in real life. Shut up and kiss him, Leonard, Nyota orders fiercely. Spock and he both stare at her, and she gives them a small smile. It's all right. Just do it, Leonard, quickly. The clock strikes again, louder than ever. Oh, God, Leonard mutters to himself. He bends down next to Jim, hardly believing he's doing this, let alone in a crowded room with 100 lookers on. He exhales softly. Stay with me, Jim, please. And he kisses him. The clock strikes 12. Jim's eyes open. Oh, I knew it was you, the woodsman murmurs, and kisses him back fiercely as the ballroom erupts into furious applause. Oh, good grief! They break apart at another rumble of thunder, and Nero's face is twisted in a scowl. What is with you people? Too many movies, as if the most powerful thing in the world is love, and not me! And with that, he half crouches, ominous green light glowing around him as he transformed into an honest-to-God, black-scaled and gleaming dragon. The crowd cries out in panic, partygoers heading to the emergency exits quickly. Spock draws his sword, but is quickly tossed aside by the powerful move of Nero's new, gleaming tail. Foolish boy, always in the way, Nero says in his deep reptilian voice. And as for you, he rounds on Leonard. Come on, hero. Let's see how this story really ends. Leonard finds himself in a rough, clawed grip. He struggles to get free, but Nero's talons are like steel, and the dragon is pulling him outside the building as it climbs to the top of the hotel into the night. The air is thick with rain and electricity from the storm, and there are dozens of floors up, and... Come on, Jim, Nero taunts. Let's see how brave you really are. Leonard feels sick to his stomach. The height, the imminent death, he can't even bring himself to make a sound. Hold on, Bones, Jim cries, and he's following them. I'm coming. You're as foolish as my son, Nero snorts derisively. Romantics! Don't you know how these stories end in real life? You let him go, Jim has Spock's sword. True love and happy endings, please. Nero laughs. Welcome to the real world. Leonard is aware of an angry chittering sound, and the chipmunk Pike salutes him cleverly as he runs to the tip of Nero's tail, unbalancing him from his perch. Astonished, Nero lets Leonard go, and he drops to the roof heavily, sliding down. Jim catches him before he topples off the end, and they watch as Nero plummets into space, disappearing with an ugly cry into gleaming light. Pike chitters with interest, joining them. "Wow," Leonard breathes, taking in Jim, who is soaked to the skin. "Are you okay?" "Never better, Bones," he says, his familiar smile brighter than ever. "You?" Leonard feels himself start to grin back. "I think I'm pretty good, considering," he says. And that's when Jim kisses him, the kind of kiss that makes him forget they're on a rooftop in a thunderstorm after having almost been killed. The kind that's meant for happily ever afters.
I've been dreaming of a true love's kiss, and a prince I'm hoping comes with this. That's what brings ever after me so happy. And that's the reason we need lips so much, for lips are the only things that touch. So to spend a life of endless bliss, just find who you love through true love's kiss.
Nyota looks at the empty room thoughtfully from where she sits. Her dress was ripped at some point, and the night air echoes with sirens. She hears Jim and Leonard talking as they take the fire exit down. She probably should too, but she's too tired to move. "Why so sad, my lady?" Spock looks no better than she does, his clothes ripped and torn, sword missing, hair in disarray. "I'm not sad," she says. "Just jealous, I suppose." She gives him an apologetic shrug. "They get there happily ever after, and..." "And why shouldn't we?" Spock raises a quizzical eyebrow at her. "My lady?" And his voice has a different, questioning quality to it, and he holds out a hand to her. Nyota giggles, then laughs in delight and takes it. They follow Jim and Leonard down the stairs, out into the cool air of early morning. And of course, they too live happily ever after. Totally not the end.